He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the Westside Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name is Emerson. Once again, for the 1,200. Hey, it got me, Max. It got me again.
I got
by the microphone.
She's trying to uppercut you right now.
Yeah, it got me, Max. You left me last week, and then the microphone is getting me this week. I don't know what to do. Roger did great last week, but now the microphone's hit me in my face. And can I go home?
No, okay. No. You have like this week, next week, and then you can go home.
Oh, for I got 2 weeks. You. Welcome to School Talk. Our main line here is 244. WBDG, that's 244-9234. Get in when you fit in. We got an awesome show tonight. We got awesome guests in the studio. We'll talk about some stuff and things. We'll talk about some things that some people say it's a sport. Some folks say it's a game, but I'll say one thing about it. It is so much fun. So we're going to dive deep into it. I got my student producer, Max. I got my student in the corner, Roger. And I got students, and I got parents, and I got teachers and coaches and all over the studio. Before I get to my stuff, I got stuff. I got attitude. I got issues. But also, we got a thing we call the
Well, WBDG Alumni Day will be October 8th. That will be Saturday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We'll get to see a lot of great alumni come back to the studio.
Hey.
Fall break again will be October 8th through October 23rd. That means no school and no school talk specifically. No radio stuff whatsoever. Radio still be on, no students, though. Football, Ben Davis travels to Carmel. Pre-game's at 6:15. Kickoff is at 7, no longer a part of the MIC, but still a major rivalry there. Our social medias are at WBDG Indy, except for TikTok, at Giant90.9. All of our podcasts are on audioboom.com, and School Talk airs every Friday at 7:30, with replay Sunday at 2 p.m.
Hey, that's the thing. We call that thing. We think we call it. Hey, y'all didn't know number 99 on Ben Davis Giant, that's my cousin. You know that? Number 90, we're the big number 99 on defense. That's my cousin. You hear that? Brother Hardy. Yeah, that's my cousin. That's my family up in the place. He's real big. He beat me up the other day. I'm just kidding. He didn't beat me up. But anyway, we got stuff and things we'll talk about here on Giant 90.9. It's so great to have students and coaches and family members and parents and all get involved with Giant 90.9. Shout out to all the moms out there in the world, because gotta have the mamas. Okay, this week got some great things we'll talk about. I want to talk about bowling. Max, I'm gonna talk. Max can't talk now. I took Max Michael. I got students in the studio, so I'm gonna let my student introduce himself, and then I'm going to introduce the coach. Good morning, student.
Good morning. My name is Owen Pulley.
And your name not Owen. Owen look nothing like you. He's a tall guy, handsome. Got smarts, got great parents. Is that you?
I was having the complete opposite of
that. Yeah, that's you.
But yeah, my name is Owen Pulley, and fun fact, I'm actually a WBDG student right now.
That's so right.
It made School Talk kind of easy getting in here. And,
yeah. And Owen, you're a senior?
Yeah, I am a senior. Okay. And a four-year varsity bowler on the bowling team. I came in freshman year. Well, I bowled when I was like three, but yeah. I didn't like it. And then the old coach, Brad Reinhardt, was my biology teacher freshman year, and I saw that he had, like, bowling stuff in his room.
Yeah.
I was like, I looked at my dad, and I was like, I want to bowl. He's like, okay, go to the bowling trials, and I actually almost missed it.
Okay.
Because at the freshman center, we have even and odd days.
Right.
So you'll flip one day, like, for example, like, one day, last period I had algebra, and the next day I had biology.
Yeah.
So the algebra day I missed. The tryouts, and then the second day I had biology, and I walk up, and Mr. Reiner's like, you coming to tryouts tonight? And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, tryouts are today.
Wow.
Today's the last day, so I went in, did tryouts, bowled like a 90 and like a 60.
Woo! And 90 and a 60, I don't know what that means. I'm going to find out in a minute, but because I got some stuff and things I'm going to talk about, because I want to find out, first of all, I'm going to come back to you. Oh, I got so much I want to talk to you about. But I got the coach in this building.
Yeah.
So I got the coach. I got the, is it Ben Davis coach? Is it the Ben Davis bowling coach? If he is, push the magic button. I think I'm right. Coach. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Coach Bully.
Morning. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
I'm great.
Glad to have you. First time I chance to meet you. I'm going to dip into your colleague a little bit, and Owens also. He just don't know. But Ben Davis Bowling.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty storied program, actually.
Before you get into it, I'm going to dip into your colleague. Yeah, Where'd you go to high school at?
I grew up in Tampa, Florida.
Southern
Hillsborough County. I went to East Bay High School, graduated in 1997.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Taylor University. That's how I ended up in Indiana.
Yeah, I know what Taylor University is at.
So came up here, played football up there, studied secondary education.
Okay.
And
played football in high school?
I did.
Did you bowl in high school?
I did not. We didn't have a bowling team in
high
school. So I bowled a lot growing up.
Okay.
Through, I don't know, from the time I was probably 6 years old till...
6 years
was,
old?
Yeah, probably till about I was about a freshman, sophomore in high school.
So you were six?
Yeah.
Now, Owen, I ask very deep questions, Mr. Pulley, your friend. I'm talking to your dad now, okay? Mr. Pulley, Coach Pulley. I ask very deep questions. So I'm going to ask Owen a very deep question, real deep. Where are you going to college?
I want to go to either Ball State or I've looked at Ball State and IU, but Ball State's really the big one for radio broadcasting.
Okay. Is that going to be your major? I mean, that's your main thing.
Right.
You got a backup? I know it's young and early, but I'm just really just trying to get you ahead of time. Yeah.
Maybe my backup would probably be like history, education, all stuff right. like that, like being a history teacher or maybe like a PE teacher, stuff like that.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So I told you I asked these tough questions. Yet, where'd that come from?
I never really thought about that being my secondary education, you know,
it's
being my backup plan.
It comes it's fast. Time, I'm 67, Coach Pulley, so time really passes fast before you know it. You're finding yourself like me. I went through four high schools in my hometown, Terre Haute, didn't finish none of them. I was really smart. I went to a school called Wiley High School. A whole year, no credits. Went to Gershmar High School, kicked out for fighting. Went to State Laboratory High School on ISU campus, didn't like it. Went to very first year of North Vigo. Yes! I love it! I finally found a school that I could go all the way. And now I'm a junior and not enough credits to be a senior.
Yep.
So this is going to hold me back. So I said, nope. At 18, I joined the Marine Corps. So I got in the Marine Corps and I got in front of a man that I couldn't spit down, yell down. And so I got in the Marine Corps, and he told me when I graduated from boot camp, first thing he said you need to do when you get to your first duty station is take your rear end back to high school, get your GED. If you want any rank in my Marine Corps, go back to high school. So I got my GED in the Marine Corps. And the key to it is education and post-education is so important. That's why I asked those questions about where you guys went to college. Now let's get back on my deep, deep subject about golf. I'm not about bowling. I play golf too. Now, Owen, I heard you say something about you bowl when you were three.
I did in like a league. It was
a league, league.
I don't remember.
A baby league.
He talks about it. It was at Brownsburg Bowl, and I was like three, and he would teach me stuff, and I hated every second of it. And
hated it.
Now, but which is funny because like the best bowler in our conference, who I'm really good friends with now, shout out Malachi Petrie, goes to Avon High School. One of the best bowlers in our conference. Has bowled since he was like three, and like I wish I would have just stuck with it, knowing that I would have bowled in high school. And like after 4 years, I'm probably averaging right now. I'm in practice, I've been averaging what 180 in practice heading into the season. But like, think about how much better I could have been if I would have stuck with it from 3 to 17.
I do understand that. Now, for full disclosure, now folks, this is a father and a son team. I'm talking about his dad is the coach here, Mr. Coach Pulley, and his son Owen. Is you co-captain, Owen?
Yeah, I am. I'm a co-captain with Emery Kinnaman. He came on last year in gold.
Okay, so that's why we got the history here of you bowling three, and that's why your dad knows about that. And I heard Coach Pulley, you said something about you bowling at six?
Yeah, so before I lived in Tampa, we lived in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
But that's kind of a bowling mecca.
All right.
And so my family's pretty deep into that. I have an aunt who actually was the first woman to shoot 300 in Seminole County down in Florida. I mean,
okay.
So my grandparents were big into it. My aunt was big into it. I've got an uncle that was on the pro tour. I mean, he really just, you know, kind of a deep history from a family side of it with bowling. So it's just always been something that's been interesting to me. And I'm good. I've got good hand-eye coordination. So like bowling, darts, horseshoes, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Cornhole. Mm. Yeah, I'm really good at those kind of sports. So,
okay.
Just trying to find the little, you know, precise things. Yeah. So, and that's it helps. It's very helpful with bowling.
Hand and eye. That's a skill when you're doing things in a certain sport. Now, his question is: bowling a game or is it a sport?
I think it's a sport. It's a little bit of both. I mean, there's some competitive things to it. Obviously, you know, you've got ways to keep in shape with it. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people will say, "Oh, you know, look at that big guy that's out there." You know, mm-hmm. he's not eating nachos
between turns,
right? So I take it a little bit more seriously mm-hmm. than other people do. I mean, some people do it as a hobby, some people do it as a sport. So I think it's great that the school offers an opportunity for students to have something. Maybe the student's not a football guy or a basketball guy, and just wants to have that opportunity to do something extracurricular. Okay. I think bowling's great because you can teach. I can teach anyone how to bowl.
Okay.
And if they, you know, maybe they're not, you know, athletically gifted to be able to go out and put up 20 and 10 on Coach Carlisle's team, or throw 6 touchdowns for Coach Simmons, mm-hmm. But they can, you know, have that opportunity to be able to do something. I think, you know, something I hear from you during your shows, and something I truly believe in is there's a lot of kids that want to do something and have an opportunity to do something. So this gives them something to do from 4 to 6 on a Monday and a Wednesday, you know, an opportunity when we have our matches that they're not doing something else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to have from a mentorship with that, is to be able to, you know, give these students an avenue to do something and instead of doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Yes. So important. One thing about sports, and I believe I'm with you, Coach. I think it is a sport, and it's a game within itself also. But with a sport, you learn so many different life lessons. Now, you played football. Now, life lessons learned in bowling. Owen, give me some. There's some. I know that you talk about life lessons. Now, let me define life lessons. If you got, you know good and well, you got a meet coming up, or a game, or a session, or a match, whatever it is, and you partying the night before, you're not gonna be up to snuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When
not.
It comes to that time for the match. Now, if you got a job, and you got to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, you out partying, here it is 6:30, and you find yourself washing your face off trying to go to work, you're not gonna do a good job on your job.
Right.
Lessons you learn in sports play over into life.
Yeah,
give
definitely.
Me some. Yeah.
I think if you're partying, so like one example, you're talking about partying and stuff like that. And I'm not the best with getting sleep, but so with bowling, I know like you're supposed to look at a spot on the lane. Like pick out a spot and you're going to hit it.
You got to concentrate.
It's going to roll. It's going to hit the pins. But I noticed like times where I get really tired. Mm-hmm. And you got to look at that spot. You got to stare at that spot for walking up to your shot and stuff. I'll start losing concentration, start like blinking because mm-hmm. like I'm staring at it. And I can't keep my eyes open because I'm tired. And then I end up like missing my shot.
But you got
like,
to purposely find that spot.
Yeah. Cause,
I mean, purposely.
Right. Because it's all about where your feet are and where you look and just all that, or else it's going to go in the gutter and you're going to bowl like a 30.
So if you purposely don't get enough sleep prior to a job, or you purposely don't do a good job on that job, you won't have that job long.
No, you're gonna get fired.
You won't get fired. And these lessons you learn in sports, they carry over into life. They really do. And one thing about golf, and I want you both to talk about this. I'm gonna go back to that 3-year-old. I'm gonna go back to that 6-year-old. Family time. How bowling brings families and friends together. I want to talk about that. Because people don't understand the power. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. The power of family. Money's cool. I like money. Don't get me wrong. Give me $5, I'll keep it. I like money. But family's more important than money.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah. And I've had the opportunity, you know, basically, you know, I tried to get Owen to bowl when he was younger. Didn't really care for it. And that was fine. He picked up baseball. Mm-hmm. Owen's also a member of the baseball team here at Ben Davis. He picked up baseball right around that same 6-7 years old, and I had the opportunity to coach him for almost a decade, coaching baseball. So those things were important to me as well.
Yeah.
Being able to have that time with him.
Yeah.
I've tried to get my daughter to do a little bit of bowling too, and she's back and forth. You know, she
got a bar.
Yeah, but we have a lot of we spend a lot of time together. You know, from a family.
Yeah.
For some family time as well.
And that's what I like about you. Don't have to be an expert to be a bowler when it comes to family time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can grab that ball and get a go to bar, and have a good time while you're out there.
Like you're joking about, oh, I'm so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's
get your fingers going the hole, you're trying to find the right ball, and while everybody's eating and stuff and drinking soda pops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're just having a good time with family. It's just like, and it's clean, happy, fun, everybody's together, and it's safe, and it just feels good. And people don't do enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fly folk don't even sit at the same table when it comes to dinner time. In front of the TV, in front of the computer, or over in the couch, up in their bedroom. But family time is so important. And that's what the aspect I like of the bowl. Now, I've seen the professionals bowl on the bowling tours on TV. And there's some money in this game. There's some money in it. So, therefore, there's some skill involved. Because if you don't have the skill, you're not going to make the money. But you got to be in, that's cool. But you got to be in bowling because you love it.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a lot of scholarship opportunity at the next level as far as collegiately as well. Untapped, opportunity too. I mean, last year, Sean White was our senior captain. He's up at Ancilla College, which is a part of Marion University. He got some scholarship money to go bowl up there. So, and there is there's opportunity around the country. To be able to bowl at the next level, and people are going to help pay for your college too.
Okay. Now, to be on the bowling team at the high school, do you have to be in a certain grade? Can you be a sophomore? Can you be a
junior? Yeah, so we'll take freshman through senior.
Whoa, okay.
You know, anybody that's got, if you have previous, skill and that, we do have a tryout. We had 17 boys tryout this year.
Okay.
And to take that back in 2020, obviously we had the COVID year, kind of everything's crazy. We had a 7-person co-ed team.
Okay.
That's all we could kind of get get together.
And nobody got cut.
Nobody got cut. Right?
Everybody who showed up made the team, which is fine.
Yeah, you fog a mirror, you're going to be on the team. This year we had 17 boys tryout, which was huge. We still need girls. So any of the girls out there listening right now, they want an opportunity to do something extra and extracurricular this year. We still need girls on the team. So I'll give that little punch there for everybody to kind of get out there. Shameless plug. There you go. For the girls. Boys, we're good. We got everybody on that. But
what do you practice at?
We practice at Western Bowl. So this is the biggest challenge that we have is transportation. Okay. Because, I work a different job. I'm not an employee of the school. Mm-hmm. So I work for a landscape company. Mm-hmm. I come down here and I can do, I get out of work in time to get to practices and things. Mm-hmm. But the hardest part is especially like freshmen, sophomores of getting a ride. So sometimes they'll get home from school and then their parents will bring them. And that becomes our biggest hurdle kind of is the transportation. But we practice at Western Bowl from 4 to 6 on Monday and Wednesday, and then we'll start getting our matches start on October 25th, and we'll bowl once, maybe twice a week, depending on the schedule, because we could potentially start a little bit earlier because of fall break.
Okay.
It's difficult to kind of get over. So they start that season right after fall break's over with, and then we'll run that through January.
Okay. Is there a cost to the student because there's shoes involved and
so we do some fundraising to help offset some of those things. We do a bowl-a-thon that we just completed where we can people can donate money towards students to help them pay for some of the offset some of their fees. Typically the fees for the year $125, that covers all the fees there for the bowling, because we have to pay the bowling center and pay the high school bowling association, those kind of things, to make sure that because they are, it's just like, when you open bowl, you got to pay too, right?
Yeah.
So there's lineage fees and those kind of things that go along with that. And then as far as a jersey, the first time that you get it, it's $50. So, $175 in the beginning, bowling is a sport that does cost a little bit, though.
Right.
But I've been really blessed over the last few years where I've reached out to the bowling community. I've been around it for so long. Hey, anybody that, you know, you got old bowling balls that you're wanting to donate, or bags or shoes or any of those kind of things. And we've been really blessed to be able to have. I built some racks in my garage because at one point I had 40 bowling balls sitting in my house.
Wow.
But I've been able to take those. Yeah. My wife is real happy about that.
Wow.
So I built some racks out in the garage to be able to house some of those. But it's been really cool. Like, some of the kids that don't have
$200.
I mean, bowling balls are not cheap. I don't know if you've priced a bowling ball lately, Emerson, but they're $250 to $275.
250 pounds.
And then you gotta get a bowling ball. You gotta get it drilled for
your
fingers.
Fingers. You know, right. Yeah.
So they're $40.
Yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon to have, you know, $500 to $1,000 worth of equipment at you at one time. Yeah. So, and not every student that's starting up this sport for the first time is interested in investing that much. Mm-hmm. And then two, not everybody can afford that. Right. So we do a good job of being able to reach out to the community. The bowling community is a pretty tight knit community. And they've done, you know, they've donated. I've met people different parts around the state picking up bowling balls for the kids. And a lot of people want to invest into the next generation of bowler. Right. Especially the bowling centers. I mean, the next generation is going to pay their bills.
Right.
Or the kids that are sitting in this room.
Right.
So, yeah, me and you, you know, they're good with that, but they got to keep keep that going. Yeah. We've gotten bowling balls donated, been able to give those to kids. If we've gotten through the fundraiser portions of it, there's been, you know, maybe a little bit extra to be able to take care of that for them too. We've done a really good job of trying to help out as best we can.
And you hit it. You hit the ball out of the ballpark earlier when you talked about having the kids, I call them kids, young scholars, something to do after school versus getting in trouble and doing something that you like or doing something different as it pertains to bowling. I remember back in the day, my hometown, Terrell, we had the Vigo Bowl. And we used to go out there as young people. But I didn't know what I was doing. I just grabbed that ball, throw it down there, and then get gutter bar, gutter bar, gutter bar, gutter bar. Everybody laugh and have fun, you know. And then the older I got, I still do gutter balls. But now I know how to score a little bit. So a strike is what? How many points?
It depends.
What?
So, okay. So I've been bowling for 4 years, and I still – okay. So
I'm going to learn something now. I think strike was only one. Go ahead. Talk
so
to
an
me.
Open is an open frame where you don't knock down all the pins, and you're two shots. So however many you get, the max you can get on an open is a 9. So if you get all the pin, you know, a spare and a 9, it just rolls over the next frame. If you get 9 first shot, you get 9 the second shot, you have 18 through two frames. But a spare, it all depends on where you spare, where you open, where you pick it up. So if you spare in the first frame and then strike out, so we say strike out, right. Go sheet, whatever, the rest of the game you get nothing but strikes. You'll finish with a 290.
So if I throw my ball down there the first time, knock all my pins down, that's a strike.
Yep. That's a strike. Yep. You have a max of max of 300, but you
how many points is how many, okay, how, yeah, many pins, the, how many pins is it?
Yeah, the scoring is really weird in bowling, right? Yeah. So maybe explain a little bit different here.
Yeah,
you have 12 frames. Okay, we're gonna 12 frames.
Yep, you pay for 12.
All right,
I'll call them 12 games.
And if I bowl a strike every ball for 12 frames, I get a 300.
Okay,
that's
a perfect score,
right?
All right, I got that.
Now. In your mind, it doesn't make sense, right, though? Because, like, if you get 10 pins times 12 frames, you score a 120, right?
That new math.
But bowling's a little bit different. And so it's based on – the scoring system's a little weird,
mm-hmm.
that you can get – if you get 3 strikes in a row or 4 strikes in a row, you're rewarded for that.
Okay.
So instead of getting 30 pins through 3 frames if you have 3 strikes, mm-hmm. you actually get that 30 points in one frame.
Wow.
So four in a row is like a free 120.
Okay. So scoring is probably the most challenging thing that we've got to teach some of the students.
But the skills, there's so much. Let's say you throw your first ball,
mm-hmm.
and you knock everything down except for 2 pins. The old two pins. I don't know what numbers they are, but it's 2 pins. Snake eyes. There's just
7-10 split.
I knew it. Yeah. I know you knew what I'm talking about.
I left one last night. It was great.
They're always fun to pick up.
Those two. Now you got to find some way. You got to work and find that angle to hit that.
Yeah.
Hit that one on the right or left to hit over. That takes some work.
Funny thing is about the 7-10 split. It's the only split that you cannot pick up with contact from pin to pin directly on the lane. You have to get it to kick back up. There's no possible way.
When you say kick back, what do you mean? Off the wall?
So there's a curtain in the back that the pins hit, and the pin setter's behind
exactly.
it. Exactly. You know, when they have automatic pin setter. So you got to get it back there. So you got to, one, you have to throw it decently fast. You can't just, like, you know, baby down the lane. Yeah. And you got to hit it. It's got to be able to kick, go back, hit off of it. And bowling pins aren't,
that,
you know,
I didn't know.
Cylinders.
Yeah. They're that I didn't know. Because I would try to hit it on the, let's say, seven would be on the left, right?
Yep.
So I would try to hit in the 10 on the right, right?
Yep.
I would try to hit the 10 to not get into the 7. That's what I would try to do.
Sometimes, yeah. But, I mean, if you're right-handed, you would want to do
I'm
that.
Right-handed.
To try to knock that off. It's a funny story. So when I was a kid, I bowled in a pro-am, and Earl Anthony was a pro bowler, one of the greatest ones. I mean, you think about him from the bowling world, you're thinking Earl Anthony is going to be like Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, right? And to compare it to like a golfer that people might understand a little bit more. So here I am. I don't know what I tell a story all the time, but I think I was 8, 9 years old. My grandparents were so excited that I was bowling with Earl Anthony because, like I said, you know, I'm bowling with the Tiger Woods of bowling.
I understand that.
Right?
Go ahead.
So my grandparents are super excited. So we go through and we bowl and everything, and I leave a split almost like the 7-10, but it's called the Big Four. It's just two additional pins in each one, and I look at Earl Anthony at my golden age of 9. I'm all excited. And I think I'm going to get, like, this great knowledge from this guy of how I'm going to pick this up.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Anthony, you're the pro. How do you pick that up? Mm-hmm. And he said, you see that reset button right there? You push it.
That's giving in. That's giving up.
It's so difficult to do.
Yeah. If you reset it, the thing comes down.
It's going to sweep them away.
Sweep them away,
right?
And bring back all your pins again.
That's right.
Oh, man.
So.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. Good story.
Oh, man. Because it really, if folks in the audience, if you never, ever, ever, ever bowled before, it is fun, even if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're with friends and family. It is so much fun. And then when you know what you're doing, oh, man, it gets really good. And then y'all start talking some stuff, you know, and you get your stripe, then you got to pick up your spare, and you can't, and then you get on teams. Ah, man, it is so
and
much
we've
fun.
Got great diversity at our school from a team perspective. We have you know, kids of all ages and athletic abilities and everything. We've got some baseball players, some football players that are out there, some kids that are in ROTC. I mean, we've got a really, really good melting pot on our team. And it's great to have everybody out there and have everybody, you know, that's all from different backgrounds, getting together and becoming one as a team, you know, for a common goal. So Ben Davis is, I mean, I started at the beginning of the show kind of talking about that. Ben Davis was back-to-back state champions.
Wow.
In bowling.
Push him back to back. Yep.
2018, 2019. There's the trophies are actually outside of the classroom in a big case.
Last year, our girls won sectional. So that was the first time that had happened.
They beat Brownsburg. Brownsburg's girls team had a two-time state champ on their team,
mm-hmm.
and before that they hadn't lost. Wasn't a year where they didn't lose sectionals since 2011.
Yeah.
So 10 years because they won beginning of 2022. So 2012, 2011. So 11 years. That was the last time they didn't win sectionals.
And our girls upset them last year. So that was awesome. a huge
that's
thing.
Great.
So. It's exciting coaching them. I have fun all the time with them. We're always learning something new, always seeing something different. And just, you know, being there to mentor our youth and help them get to that next level. However they're going to go.
Wherever we go. It makes sense, though, because all that time you spent with the students as you learn the game of bowling or the sport of bowling, either or, you know, all that, once again, like I said before, those lessons still carry over into the classroom. I mean, you got to spend some time to study one way or another, even when it comes to bowling. Because, you just like you said, how you gonna pick something up? How do you know how to get your stand? Your feet. Mm-hmm. You got to get your feet to work right.
Yeah, and with us, even though we're not, you know, an IHSAA sport, we're a different kind of club. Team with that, we still have to follow the same rules academically.
Yeah,
so everybody has to be eligible as well.
There
so you can't slack off in the classroom and be on the bowling team. You've got to got to be able to do both.
Now, just a little history out there. Back in 19 before Owen's time, 1988 at the Seoul Summer Olympic Games, bowling was an official demonstration sport for the first time and only time.
Yeah, and yeah, it went away. And I want to say that I've seen something recently about them maybe bringing it back to the Olympics.
That'd be fun to see. It's a very big worldwide sport.
It is. It's huge worldwide now. And there's, thanks to guys like Jason Belmonte out of Australia. Oh, and you've got some of the other ones.
Jesper Svensson out of Sweden.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot
it's
of
international.
Those guys. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Australia's a big sport, though. Or Australia's a big sport there. It's not really big in England because they have a nine pin, or I believe they have like nine pin bowling. It's a little different there, but stuff like that. So, but like Australia, I know like Sweden, it's big, and Italy, it's pretty big too.
Okay, I got a hot question for you. Is duck pin bowling bowling?
It's a little different. I'm not a big fan of it because like it's kind of harder to do.
It's really,
like,
really difficult.
It's a smaller ball, it's smaller pins, and it's a shorter lane. But you get like three shots, but if you don't pick it up in three shots, like
yeah, they're all like on strings. And you know what the good part about duck pin bowling is, Emerson, is it's good family time.
It definitely is fun.
Go have fun with your family doing that. I couldn't even tell you how to keep score with that. You get three shots. It's all it's Greek to me, man. I don't understand it.
That's what I'm talking about. You learn something when you learn how to bowl. You have a good time with your family when you're bowling. And at the same time, like you say, it's something for the family to do. And when you're at school, you're involved in something that's positive, and say it can go on to the next level into college scholarships, huge. And then professional ranks you can go into. So it's not something to look at and say, well, this ain't going to work. It can go a long way.
Yeah,
absolutely. In many, many different areas, So yeah. I'm so glad, Coach. I'm glad you take your personal time to do something like this. And I do understand personal time. I've been doing this show since 2003. At one time, I was on staff, but I haven't been on staff since 2003. I was on staff in 5 years, 2000, 2005, something like that. But I do this because I love being around the students. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, they're so much fun to be with. And otherwise, I wouldn't do it,
I heard something years ago. Yeah. Be the mentor that you wanted to have when you were, that age.
Yeah, I like that.
And just to be, who did you need, And I think about those things too. And I grew up with a great, great family life and those kind of things. But looking back and how can I help mentor some of those kids that maybe didn't have everything, that I had, and be the mentor that you needed when you were when you were younger. So.
And sometimes, I mean, the students don't realize that they're helping me, because this is something I didn't have in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm actually living my high school dream as an adult, because we didn't have this when I was in high school.
Right.
And every Friday I get a chance to come in here and do this. It's like, I can go to school every single Friday. I'm sorry, Max. Max, I mean, I need to behave, but I can't help it, Max.
No, it's a great opportunity for them to have that. I had a radio show at Taylor, during the J term. I think, the 3 weeks, that's all they let me be on the radio for 3 weeks. But it isn't a great opportunity to have that. And it's awesome that Ben Davis and Area 31 have this opportunity these kids. There's so much going on at Area 31 for kids to be able to do something that they want to do. I've run That's into true. Multiple kids in different places of doing things.
Area 31 is the bomb.
Awesome.
It is totally, totally awesome. Well, folks, we've done it. We talked about bowling. Okay, so young folks still can join the team.
I need girls. Boys, just I'm good. Girls. Boys are pretty much set.
Fellas, we've got sorry.
That. Sorry, guys. We had the tryouts. You came out in droves, and we're
we
set.
We got you.
We got a varsity and a JV team for boys this year.
Okay.
We need girls.
How do they get a hold of you?
You can email me, gpulley79@gmail.com. It's probably the best way to do that. If it's through the school, go check out. You can go to the athletic department.
Okay.
Maybe talk to Mrs. Foster, and she can get you in contact with me as well if you
Sounds good. All right, let's go bowling. That's great. All right. Well, I don't know what's next. I know Owen's got class. You probably got to do real work now.
I got to head up to the north side.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Coach.
I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for having in. And like you say, go BD bowling. Go, go, go. match next week. We got Dr. Butts. The big man is in the house. I got to be on my good behavior. I hate being on my good behavior when Dr. Butts is in the house. You know, I'm just kidding. We love Dr. Butts. We couldn't do what we do. It wasn't for Dr. Butts, the school board, the teachers here at Ben Davis High School. We're looking forward to hearing from Dr. Butts to see what he's been up to. He's been busy. He's been out there on the podcast and stuff and talking to a community. So we're going to find out what Dr. Butts has been up to next week on School Talk. So let's get out of here. Send the parents. Talk to the parents. Talk to the students. Because I always say, to the parents and to the teachers. Our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what you're going to be giving back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the rat cat. Or copy your dad. You can't go wrong. Max, your dad's pretty cool, too. You know, Roger, I ain't met your daddy yet. I ain't met your mama yet. I gotta come to your house to eat your food so I can talk to you a little bit longer. I'll leave Roger alone. Not your food. The views expressed in schools are... Wait a minute. One more thing. Young man, be a man. I'm going to say real nicely today. Young man, be a man. Pull up your pants. I hate sagging. Coach Pulley, what do you think about sagging?
Wear a belt, man. Wear a belt.
I mean, Owen, you ever sag and got away with it?
I don't sag.
I know one time it was a fad. I remember they had that one, what that one group, they wore the pants backwards.
Crisscross.
Crisscross. Yeah, that was big when I was in middle school.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a fad. That was
Roger's
a fad.
Roger's tucking it in his
I remember
pants.
That, you know, but, you know, but come on, man. Girls don't even like you when you're sagging your pants. I don't want to see your BVDs. Oh, man, they ain't clean anyway. The Fuse Express is going to, that's the Fuse image of Wayne Times, the Ben Davis High School, Johnny Pine, the Fuse of me and my guest. From next week, I have Dr. Butts in the house. We're going to find out what the good superintendent of Wayne Times should have been up to here on School Talk next week. So check in and check out that show. See you next week on School Talk.